praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So when we think about joy, the world has this idea of joy, and I want to go there first just to give you a definite understanding between joy that the world has and the idea of joy being an emotion and the joy of the Lord, which is much different than just an emotion. This joy that comes from God has been paid for by Jesus Christ's very blood. This joy from God is part of the Holy Spirit gift to us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And when we think about joy, the world, you know, has this idea. If you've been out to the movies and you've seen this emoji movie, what is it called? Inside Out? I think that's the one. Yep. It has a character named Joy. She got the blue hair. And she's always acting like she's happy and she can't stand anything else but being happy. And that's an emotion. The joy as an emotion, looking at it as a feeling. I want you to know today that feelings come and go. Feelings do. Our sadness, it comes and it goes. Our happiness can come and it can go. Our mood changes with the wind. Our mood can change from the time we get up. You may get up on the wrong side of the bed some mornings. I know I'm guilty of that sometimes. But I kind of feel like, well, that just happened. I don't know that I chose it. It just sort of happened to me. I got up. I felt a little about getting up. And you know what? I had to make a decision about how I was going to go about getting up. And that decision for me meant I had to go, wait a minute, check my feeling, which is like, and think about that for just a minute. Does that please God? Is that something that I want to walk in that day? Or do I need to lay that down? It was a very real feeling. Lay it down. Take on a decision to choose joy for the day, the joy that's not an emotion, and walk in that. And then when I do those things, it doesn't always happen that I wake up with a feeling. But when I do, and I feel like, oh, there's any kind of spot of dread, any kind of spot of anything that just doesn't feel like, oh, I'm looking forward to this day that God has given me, I have to pray and say to the Lord, I want you today. I choose you today. I'm thankful for you today. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Something shifts in the atmosphere, shifts in my soul. My outlook looks different. My focus changes from a feeling to an eternal value of joy. And I am shifted to what is real in eternity for me. That I am just a sojourner in the land. I'm just journeying through the land. It may be difficult, but I can rely on Jesus Christ and shift my perspective to what is real in the moment. Have you ever woke up on the wrong side of the bed? Yes. Yes, I'm sure we've all had those days where we were like, I'm not feeling it today. Well, that's the thing. We can't rely on a feeling for the day that we live in. We must rely on Jesus, on his gifts, on his word, on what he has done for us. So when we're thinking about joy, there's an outward expression that happens. When we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, when we have the joy of the Lord in our lives, and again today the verse is Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. When we have the joy of knowing who Jesus is and what he's done for us, we can walk in that. We will feel what it feels like. Now, they're going to a feeling now. We will feel what it feels like to walk in that. So we have joy, and then it gets translated, and we see the effect through a feeling, and we find ourselves rejoicing. Rejoicing in God, shouting praises to him, singing songs to him. We had the Spectrum man come out the other day to help me move the line, and he's humming through the hall. He is singing some song, and I'm trying to catch hear what exactly he's singing, and I was like, that's a different kind of song. That's a different kind of thing. That's not a worldly kind of song. There's something else about this man. I come to find out he's the worship leader at a church on 178. I'm like, yes, Lord. And it was a wonderful time of watching him work and in the presence of the Lord, watching him work, you know, just singing. And that's the way we do. When we know the Lord as our Lord and Savior, we have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. And in that, we will rejoice in the Lord. We will actually begin to rejoice in what he's done for us. It's just as fresh today for me as it was, I don't know how many years ago now, because I was really young when I gave my heart to the Lord. And I don't want to reveal my age right now. But it's just as fresh today when I think about what he's done. How wonderful he is to us. How wonderful he is to me. He loves me. He loves you with an unending love. And that's causing us to have this unending rejoicing and ability to rejoice or to delight. We can also give joy to others. You know, when we're expressing our joy, we can cause someone else to feel that joy just by expressing our joy in the Lord. How about this? You come together and you begin to worship God together. Hearing someone else praising God does something. It does something. It's like a river flowing out. It springs up and out. The Holy Spirit does that. And the joy of the Lord, that rejoicing flows out. It touches the lives of the people that are around us. And it can happen whether we're in the congregation here or whether we're at Walmart or whether we're down the street at Publix or wherever you shop at. It can happen when we are at home with our families. We're vacuuming the floor, whatever we're doing. Rejoicing in the Lord brings about something in the atmosphere and a change in the atmosphere. Now, what is this joy? What is this? What is it that happens? Why is this happening? Well, when we think about this, we can go back to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says this. In the second part of it, it says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. The good news, we've talked about Jesus, the good news, the gospel of Jesus, not too many weeks ago. That good news can bring joy to people. He brought joy to the world. His coming brought joy to the world. The Word of God came. We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, is what John 1:1 says. Jesus Christ provides a way. When we give our heart to the Lord, when we've given our heart to the Lord, in repentance, He has redeemed us. He's bought us. I want to go back to Nehemiah for just a moment. The book of Nehemiah is a beautiful book, as all the Word of God is. Nehemiah 8:10, it says this, do not grieve. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to give you a little bit of context here and why this is said right here. What was happening was the Word of God had been read corporately. It had been read to the people. And they began to grieve over their sin because they had not remembered the Word of God. They had forgotten God. They had forgotten precepts. The Word of God was being read then, and they were in grief over all of the sin, the heaviness of sin. Now remember, this is the first covenant. This is back before the Lord Jesus came, but his word was so powerful that they grieved that they had broken the commandments of God, their own, God's own children. Sin is like that. It can bring a grievous, guilt-ridden feeling over our whole lives. It brings a curse. It brings things that we don't want. It eventually comes to the end, and it will be death and death eternal without God. Sin will do that. It has a price. But Jesus Christ paid the price, the ransom. Jesus Christ paid it with his very life on the cross of Calvary. And he set the captives free, those who accept him for who he is. Yes, he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is God. He come to save us. He come to save us from our sins. So when Nehemiah was speaking, when this was being spoken about in Nehemiah and the word was being read, the people grieved. They wept in sorrow. When we give our hearts to the Lord in truth, when we give our lives to God in repentance, we will find ourselves having godly sorrow. We will find ourselves very much wanting to be in God's presence, very much wanting to get rid of the sin. Anything that's wrong between us and God is wrong. Anything that goes against God's word is wrong. There is a right and wrong, and it is the word of God, the truth of God. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we do not obey, then we've turned away. It's just that easy, really, but it can be hard because people love sin. People love to hold on to sin. They love to justify sin. They love to just make all kinds of excuses of why they are living a sinful way. And then they continue in that sinful way, hoping that God would grant them some kind of escape, but yet not accepting the will of God and repenting to the point where they turn from their wickedness. Even if it's a wickedness that is hopefully wanting something good to come out of it. But they turn from their wickedness to serve the living God in a way that is holy and righteous. In a way that is true and just. In a way that is biblical and by God's precepts. I want to live my life by God's precepts. And the only way that I know how to do that is get on my knees and cry out to God that he search my heart and that he show me the way every day, that I not get off track. I want to guard my heart and mind. I want to renew my mind with his word. The enemy, he does come in. He tries for every Christian, every soul, to destroy them, to steal from them, and to kill them and destroy it all. He doesn't love God. He doesn't want God's will in your life. And he hates with a really, really vengeful hate. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. These things we know. Here's what happened in Nehemiah, and here's why Nehemiah 8:10 says this: do not grieve. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In their repentant heart, as they turn from their wickedness, the Lord wants them to rejoice. The prophet said, this is the day of the Lord. I don't know about you, but have you ever had a time where you were praying and all of a sudden all those sins come rushing back in your mind and you're all of a sudden going right back to going, Lord, forgive me. I wish it had never happened. If I could take a giant eraser and erase that, I would. You find yourself right back there and weeping before the Lord. Lord, I would. And that's okay. That's a good place to be, right? Humble before God. But don't forget that Jesus paid the price for it all. And it's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of rejoicing because God has repositioned you from a sinner destined to death eternal, to life eternal in Christ Jesus. And we have a reason to shout for joy and to exclaim God's goodness in our lives. That's what was happening here. They were commanded to stop weeping. No more mourning. This is a holy day to the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Isaiah 55:12 describes this. It says, "For you shall go out in joy." And this is a triumphant. It's triumphant going out in God's grace, by His power, because of His provision in Christ Jesus. All creation itself was grieving and has been in bondage. But because of the love of Jesus Christ, because of the saving plan of God, and our ability to go to Jesus, in Romans 8:21, we see, and you can see, that all creation has this hope as well. They'll be freed from this corruption and this total destruction that keeps going. Jesus made a way for even creation to rejoice. Isaiah 35:10 says, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing." The ransomed. Bought back. Jesus loves us so much that He gave His life to redeem us from sin and death. He bought us back. We are His in Christ. We are God's in Christ. We are His possession. He wants us. It just blows my mind. His love so great. Blows my mind. He doesn't want us stuck in a place of discouragement. He doesn't want us to be stuck in a place where we do not realize the joy that He has provided for us. This joy that isn't just a feeling. This joy that is ours to have as we abide in Him. Isaiah 50:10 goes on to say, "Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away." I can't wait to see that day. I see it in bits and pieces now. It's like a taste of glory. Like the heat of the day. And then the rain comes and cools it down. And the rain stops. And the sun comes out. It's just this beautiful spot in time, even in creation, that gives you this sigh of relief that God is in control, even in creation. I am really thankful that God is in control of the sunshine and the rain, because if we were in control of that, we would be billed. We would be billed. It would cost us. We want to be able to choose joy, and I want to encourage you to choose joy through tough times. You may be facing a tough time in your life today. I want you to be encouraged to choose joy through this tough time. God wants you to choose this. So when we think about joy as a gift, it is the gift of God through Jesus Christ, His Son. And the Holy Spirit is this love, joy, peace, this gift of the Spirit. The fruit, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to know that you also have a part in taking a hold of that joy. It's kind of like we're on this road, like me getting up in the morning. And I go, I'm either going to go all day long and begrudge the day and, oh, I got to do this and, oh, I got to do that and I got to, you know, that's begrudging. Or I'm going to change and shift and my focus onto the Lord, and I'm going to take hold of the promises of Christ Jesus, and I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and that's a whole different road. I'm going to turn from the other and make the decision to choose joy in the day or in the moment. It doesn't just have to be in the middle, in the morning. It can be in the middle of the day. Something really rough happens. Something really hard happens. Choosing joy is super important in that moment. The book of Habakkuk, the prophet, is like this whole discussion. Actually, Habakkuk was complaining. He was talking to God and bringing out complaints about what was going on. He was a man troubled by the moral and the spiritual deterioration of the people, his people. He was troubled, and we are troubled today. In the world that we live in today, in all of the things and the troubles that we face today, we can understand a feeling of this trouble. Habakkuk did not fully understand the plan of God. He couldn't see it all. He questioned God. It's okay to question God. It's not okay to rebel against God. It's okay to ask him questions and question him. We don't understand it all. He knows it all, and he may show us, and he may explain to us. And what was beautiful, when you read the book of Habakkuk and you come to the very end of it, you'll see in Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, and we're going to just go to A, 3:17 through 19a, these words. So first he starts and he's having this discussion, he would complain and ask, and then God explains, and then he complains. He's like blown away by what God is saying. Like, that's not my plan. How could that be possible? Why would you do that, God? And I'm really paraphrasing that. And then he goes to that. God explains again. God responds. And here is, in the end of this response that Habakkuk makes. And I love to see these things in the Word of God, where someone is calling out to God and they have this certain mindset about something and they're not really understanding it all the way. And then they keep calling on God. They keep talking. The open conversation is there. That communion is there with God. And then God works in such a way that it shifts their thinking to where they become aware of what's going on right in here. Not just out here, but right on the inside. And it's kind of what happens to Habakkuk. And he says this in verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18, he says this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. God the Lord is my strength, he says in verse 8:19. He makes my feet like the deer's, and he makes me tread on my high places. I did go to the end of the verse. That joy of the Lord just brings tears to my eyes. I can't help but to feel that. How powerful the joy of the Lord is. You think about those goats on the mountains. I don't understand those goats on the mountains. The mountains are literally like this steep. And yet they are like clinking to the edge of nothing. The deer that they're talking about can run up the steepest thing, can just be standing there on the edge of almost nothing and be fine. This is what Habakkuk's talking about. The joy of the Lord, he is our strength. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Is it because of the circumstance we're going through? No. It's because of who he is. No matter what circumstance we go through, no matter what, he is still sovereign. He is still God on the throne, and he's still making a way where there is no way, just like we sung about with this Waymaker song. He is the Waymaker. He makes a way where there is no way. He never fails on his promises or his plans. He doesn't backstep. He doesn't have a shadow of turning. He is just God Almighty in the middle of it, even if it's a mess. And God makes a way for his children. every time. I thank you, Lord. Psalms 30, verse 5 says this, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy, joy comes in the morning. This explains a feeling, an eternal thing, the difference. Weeping happens. We may feel for a little bit some serious sadness over something. It's very heavy in our souls. It's very real, very important to feel it. Very important to walk through it. And joy will always come when we trust in God, when we put our faith and trust in Him alone. Joy will always be there. It's like a byproduct, period, because we are secure in Him no matter what. No matter what. You could be on the front lines, bullets flying by your head, and still rejoice in the Lord because of the joy of God in your heart. This is true. I can't hardly fathom that. But you ask a man on the battlefield who loves the Lord and who trusts in Him, he would be shouting, "Hallelujah! That one didn't hit me. Hallelujah." And going on the battlefield to fulfill what God has called him to do, or what he has been ordered to do, his duty. John 15:1, Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, if you're looking at the context of John 15, you're looking at abiding in Christ, abiding in the vine. If we abide in the vine, this is what Jesus is saying. These things he spoke to us. These things, this is right before this when he's saying, "Abide in me and I in you." He is saying these things that we may have joy, and that our joy won't be just a drop of joy, but that it will be that full joy. That we would have joy and that our joy would be full. He's not stingy one bit. You take your cup of need to him, he's going to fill it up. Thank you, Jesus. In Galatians, I've been sharing about the fruit of the Spirit, just touching on joy. And that is where you find it, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. You see, when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there's something that's going to happen. We're going to begin to grow in him. As we abide in him, as we abide in Christ, and we allow Christ to abide in us, we begin to grow in him. The fruit of the Spirit grows and is manifested in our lives, and joy is one of those. The world doesn't have this kind of joy. The things of the world, it's not the same. You can go out here, you can take a vacation, you could take a trip, you could do whatever. You may find some happiness here and there that's good. Some things to enjoy that are good, temporary. But this joy is different. This comes from Jesus. This comes from God Almighty. This is like if you went to God's grocery store and you're walking through the grocery store, and you're like, yeah, I need a little joy. And you could just take it. It's yours. He has those provisions for us. He paid for them through his atonement for us. And Jesus told his disciples in John 16:20-22. He said, "Verily I tell you, you will weep and mourn," and they did. While the world rejoices, there'll be times the world around us will rejoice over horrible things. And Jesus said, you will grieve. This is a fact. There will be times where we grieve things. People change, you know. There are hard things that cause us grief. This is true. But Jesus says this. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. It just turns into joy. It's like the Lord is doing this, working out for us. It's a gift, this gift of joy. Working out for us joy in everything that goes into this life that we have. Every hard thing, like your knees hurting or a headache or your kids going, I don't know, crazy. God is working out something as we turn to Him. He is at work turning everything good in our lives. Not that we're going to experience good all the time, like we would call it good, but He can see further than that. He is working a work in us to cause us to grow and be strengthened. Now we understand this joy of the Lord is our strength, but that joy comes at a cost of submitting to Christ, which isn't a heavy cost, not really. It's a choice. It's a choice that takes being humble, having a humble heart before the Lord. Humility. It takes a bowing down. It takes a giving it to Him. You see, if you're like some of my grandchildren, they're like, they're little. You know, they're like two, and this is mine. It's mine. Even though you're looking at them, you know, you're going to get hurt by that. You're going to get hurt. Let me have that. And you're trying to chase them down without them hurting themselves with whatever they've grabbed. And then finally they relinquish it. The joy of the Lord is something that we can have when we abide in Him. And we abide in Him by being, trusting in Him, by being humble before Him, by bowing down, by giving it to Him. Kathleen, could you come here for just 1 second? Just right here. Don't be worried. I just grabbed the first thing. It's like this. To give to someone something would be, let me say this is just a loud noise. It's not a good noise. Let's just pretend. But it's something that's really bothering me. It's really sitting with me, and it just bugs me, and it just won't stop, and it's just a trouble. It's something hard. And I've held on to it, you know, and it's still making that noise everywhere I walk. It keeps in the back of my head sometimes, you know, that kind of thing that tries to rob our joy. God wants us to give it to Him, just like I'm going to give Kathleen this tambourine. And it's hard for us to understand that it's just this simple. But it can be hard. But it's just as simple as letting it go. But what if? But it is just as simple as you can have it. You take care of that for me. It's just that simple. Give it to God. And now don't do this. Don't go hunting it back down. You give that to God, and every time that thing comes to your mind, every time that trouble happens in your heart, you feel that hit you. Find a place and sing or pray to the Lord and count your blessings. That works. God wants us to be able to. not grieve always. Yes, we need to be repentant and have that grieving in our heart for what we did wrong. That godly repentance. And yes, when someone passes away, we're going to grieve. And when we have change in our lives, we're not to ignore the fact that we have emotions and that we need to process that out. In that processing that out, God is stretching us to trust Him. In that processing that out, he's not tempting us to fall away from Him. It is not His desire for us to fall away. It is His desire for us to trust Him all the more. All the more. And that way He gets the glory. And He gets the glory because of this. We grow. Oh my goodness, we grow stronger in Him. We rely on Him. We see things that God is working on us about. I'm speaking to myself this morning, y'all. God stretches us and He moves us. And He makes us go, okay, I'll trust You. And then we step out in faith, not doubting. Step out in faith in Christ, abiding in Him. And you know what? God fills it, that cup of need. Now, when we talk about stepping out in faith and not doubting, we're not talking about doubting our faith, because then you're kind of worshiping faith. We're talking about doubting who you trust at His word. God, when we step out in faith, we step out trusting God at His word. You see, He is faithful. Is He faithful to me if I sin and turn away from Him? Yes, He's faithful to His word. Now, what does that speak to me? If He's faithful to His word, He's faithful to His word, and His grace covers me. But if I turn away from His word, His love's still there. His word's still there. His love's still there. There comes a point of no return, because the end of sin is death. And along the way, a soul loses so much ground. It happens little by little by little by little until the end. And here, closer to the end, a person could look back and, the feeling is regret. Now, there's other reasons we feel regret. I don't want you to feel beating yourself up. But sin is what Judas felt, the regret of his decision. And sin led him to where he went, Judas that betrayed Jesus. And in our lives, we must choose the path, not of least resistance. Not that easy path, it's the wide one to destruction. But the path to life and life eternal in Jesus Christ. It doesn't always feel good, but then it is good. But then it is really good. You may go through seasons of excruciating difficulty. I can testify. You can. And I could testify that you can see the blessing in the end. The thing that happens that only God did and only God knew from the beginning. God will bring you through. This I know, as you trust and abide in Him. For His glory, His great name's sake, in His plan, as He provides His provision. It's not a I want, gimme, gimme, gimme. It is, what do you want me to do, Lord? Give Him, give Him, give Him. So I want you to take something home today. And that is to know, forgive me for my tear. I'm like crying. Tears of joy for His goodness. It's not easy. But there's provisions for that. You don't go into the wilderness without God taking good care of you if you're going into the wilderness because you're led by the Spirit, just like Jesus. Being led by the Spirit into the wilderness and fasted 40 days and tempted. He was tempted of the enemy. God didn't do that. The enemy is out to tempt us. We will go through trials. We will. Refinement of our faith. A cleansing of our walk. It's not easy when God starts working on our character. And we like how we were. I'm speaking to myself. But he wants us to grow in him. So James 2:2-4 says this. And every time I think about joy, really this is the first verse I go to. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith works steadfastness. It's a faithfulness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. You see, God wants to not only fill up your cup, he wants to fill up your shopping buggy. He wants to fill you up with all of his goodness. He wants to get out of you anything that's in the way. And he is at work. We are being changed from glory to glory. And I am so thankful that he doesn't leave me where I'm at, that he keeps me going towards closer to him. I want to be close to him. You see, we're on this journey. And there are times when I do get down, and I know that you do too. There's times that we experience these feelings to remember that they are temporary is important. They can pass. They can go, and you can let go, and you can put yourself to doing something to help you, your own self, walk out of that. But you can't do it any better way than through Christ, his word. Turn on some music that uplifts your spirit. Fight that good fight. And there is this old song. It's a song written by Johnson Oatman Jr. And he lived from 1856 to 1922. You know, the song that I'm fixing to share with you is just as real today as it was way back then. And the title of the song is Count Your Blessings. So it says this in the song. It's just a beautiful song. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It really does work to sit and just go, okay, let me just write down what the Lord's done for me and just start writing. When you're in a fix, when you're struggling, just take a minute. Verse 2 says, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Verse 3 in this song says, when you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven, nor your home on high, money can't pay for that. Jesus paid the price. Verse 4 says, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, the angels will attend. help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And the verse or the chorus is, count your blessings. Name them one by one. See what God has done. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. As I'm thinking about the blessings of the Lord upon the people that sit in front of me, you, and then some that are not here right now, what I can count of them is so many that I couldn't put it in a book. It would take me probably a lifetime just to write those blessings down, let alone what God has blessed me with that I know of from day to day. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to walk in this joy that he's given us, and it is available to us. Joy, do you have a song? Thank you. Isn't that so appropriate? The message title's on joy, and we have joy filling in today. Thank you, joy. Remember that biblical joy is much deeper. This joy is not fleeting. It's not tied to an emotion. It's not temporary. It's really not happiness. That's an emotion. This joy is eternal. This joy is yours in Christ Jesus.